Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
Everybody stop what you're doing, please!
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans.
Oh. Welcome to...
Stop it! Stop
Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G. I'm Dane Vodder. And we have got a great hour here for us today. We're going to be talking about, well, what I think is, when it comes to plumbing, the things that really go sideways when people don't know enough about plumbing around the house.
Or maybe think they know enough about plumbing, but probably
yeah,
don't.
Or maybe they learned from a really bad source. Or watched the wrong YouTube video.
If you want the right YouTube video, Roger Wakefield's our guy.
Yep. Roger's the go-to. He's my go-to plumbing expert for stuff like that. And he is the master plumber that I lean on for any questions on stuff.
Absolutely. Hey, if you have any plumbing questions, electrical questions, home improvement questions in general, we want to answer them. And the odds are if you have a question, somebody else has that question too.
You got it.
So answer it for them. Give us a call here in the studio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our number's 971-233-8992. Call, leave us a message, and we'll call you back, record it, and you'll hear yourself in next week's show.
You got it. If you tried getting a hold of us last week during the power outage, I'd heard that we'd had some busy signals, and I even had some emails bounce back because things were that bad out here.
Wow, okay.
So if you did try to get a hold of us for some reason, haven't heard back, then always give us a call back, or you got frustrated because there was a busy tone and you couldn't leave a voicemail. We had that in certain areas. So
everything should be open back up now.
Oh, yeah. We're doing good now. Well, today I want to talk about those top 10 DIY plumbing mistakes that people make around their home when they're trying to take on projects. So this is my kind of curated list of problems that I see out there. So number 10, this is a controversial one for many. Using a shark bite or shark bite type fitting for other than a temporary repair. These are the push-to-click fittings.
These are not made to last very long.
Well, here's the problem. Yeah. They fail.
Exactly.
And you think about it. You push and click, and everything all snaps together. I can't tell you how many projects that I've been on remodel projects over the years, even with the newest design of them, where a month or two, 3 months later, 4 months later, that fitting failed and slid off. Now, one of the biggest ones that I see is if you've got that horrible CPVC, which is the yellow PVC pipe.
Yep.
And I've seen people come in, push those on and use those as a transition. They fail all the time. So the only time that you want to use any of those push to click type fittings is if it's a temporary project. They work great while you're working on a bathroom and maybe you're going to change out or replumb something. You want to cap it off. Great. That'll work great. You know, if you've got something temped up, oh, they're beautiful for that. Otherwise, those should be in a place, if you're going to use them, that you have 100% access to all the time.
Don't put it somewhere where you're going to forget about it.
Well, if it's in a crawl space, I get it. Okay, you can go down there and see it. It's easy access. Okay. But if I'd never bury that behind drywall.
Mm-mm.
Never.
You need to be able to get to it so that you can fix it if something goes wrong or change it like you should be.
Yeah, so that those are temporary fittings. So do not put that in a wall. Do not walk into. And the problem is that, you know, they go, oh, we've got a 10-year warranty or whatever they are, whatever brand is out there. And there's been significant problems with them out there. Any good plumber will say never use one, except for temporary stuff. So that's one of those things that just be very careful with, because that mistake, it's so tempting to not want to take that copper pipe and sweat a fitting on and do it right. I'm just going to click it on or on a piece of plastic. I'm
fixed. Good. Good to go.
It's good. No, it's not.
You're asking for problems down the line. And especially, like you said, if you put that behind drywall, and as we said in the last hour, out of sight, out of mind, you're not going to remember, and it will fail.
It will bite you. It will every single time. Now, here's a grand debate that might even run into the next segment. This one's so long.
I don't understand why this is a debate.
I know. Trying to save a cheap toilet by repairing it versus buying a new one.
Why spend your money and time repairing?
Well, here's
a cheap
why.
Toilet.
You can go buy, you can rebuild a toilet for $20, right?
Yeah. Okay, sure.
You're going to go put the new parts in it. It flushes. It does all the right
operational,
things. It's operational,
sure.
Right?
Okay.
But what happens is somebody has that 1977 toilet, they keep throwing parts in. They don't realize that that toilet is probably costing them $100 a year.
Technology has changed a lot since 1977.
Yeah, instead of using 3.5 gallons of water, they use now 1 gallon of water. So you can go in and change and get a really good working toilet. So you spending that $20 is going to cost you $100 a year.
Over that, how many years?
How many years? Could have bought another $300 toilet.
Been more efficient.
Easier to keep clean.
And not have to do upkeep on repairs on it. Well, see, hopefully.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Now, let's talk about that for a minute. One of the things that I say never use are those toilet cleaning tablets you put in the tank. You ever see those?
Yeah, I've never used them, but yeah, where you put them actually in the actual reservoir.
Yeah, in the tank back there. You get to take the lid off, put them in there. A lot of those have bleach in them. Bleach loves to eat up plastic.
Exactly, and those then that water, the only way it gets down into the toilet is through plastic parts. Yeah, plumbing.
And so now you're in trouble. So that will reduce the life of those fittings.
See, and I've always used the ones, I mean, as far as, you know, toilet cleaning goes, anything that goes actually in the bowl, like whether it's where you notch it in there or whatnot, and it, every time you flush, it gets around, or like actually just cleaning the bowl. Like, I very rarely, only really if I have to fix a flapper issue, do I ever end up going into the tank.
Two things that I want you to not do on that toilet as well, since we're going to talk about it.
Potty talk.
Make sure that you're not just pouring bleach down there to clean it with.
Yeah.
Because you're going to etch that, which as soon as you etch that toilet,
it's going to get dirty.
It gets
much
dirty
quicker.
Faster. You've given it grip to grab a hold of. And then second of all, you know, when you're, don't use that magic eraser too much to get off hard water deposits.
Oh, you mean sandpaper?
Sandpaper.
Oh, yes. That's what that is?
It is. See, no. I got you trained, man. Yeah,
see, I learn things, but I use just regular, you know, generic toilet bowl cleaner, things that are made to clean the toilet bowl. So,
and do not go into your home center and buy that $120 toilet off the shelf.
The budget, $99 or $100. No, don't do it.
Rules of the road with toilets, you get what you pay for. It's really that simple.
Minimum, I'd say $300 to $400 is what you should be paying.
Yep. Now, there are some decent ones. If Kohler American Standard have in there, that'll be okay.
But, I mean, even then, I'd say that's like the landlord special, the where you're putting one into a rental unit. If you're actually buying yourself a toilet that you plan on having for longer than 2 years, spend the money. It's worth it. It'll treat you better in the long run. First of all, more efficient. Mm-hmm. Second of all, it'll last longer.
Now, Toto, great company. They have been the leaders in toilet technology for the last decade.
Used to be all you used to talk about, but now you're
other companies are catching up.
Yeah. The technology's getting there.
Like my house, we've got DXV in here, which is American Standard's higher end line. Great toilets. Got no problem with them. They work great. So that's the thing. You get what you pay for when it comes to toilets. All right. Number 8. Using PVC, white plastic pipe, inside your house for water, hot water, or drinking water. So there are lots of different, PVC pipe in pressurized applications is designed really for sprinkler systems outside. Great for irrigation. But it's not really meant to plumb your house with. Drinking water with. Now, I've done it before, but it's not really meant for that. The problem is it's pretty brittle.
I was going to say, it breaks down.
Yeah. And I don't want the chemicals in there either.
Exactly.
But they make CPVC, which is the yellow-looking PVC pipe.
Okay.
That's kind of got a
made
cream
for
color.
Like hot
it's
water,
made for
it?
Hot water, but it's very brittle as well.
Oh, well,
lots
awesome.
Of companies have gone out of business and filed Chapter 11 because they had parts like that that failed. If you have that in your house, most people are at that point are thinking about replumbing their house. And it was made to be easy and quick, and so many times easy and quick is how things fail. It's never what we like to see. So make sure you're using the right materials. It doesn't matter if it's a water system like that, or if you're doing drains, make sure you're using the right materials that meet code in your area. And when in doubt, just bring the plumber in. You can always do that, and that way you know it's going to be right. And if it's a big project, better hope they're pulling permits on it too. But again, check your local listings for that one, because they're not always required depending on what state you're in. More of Around the House on my top 10 DIY plumbing mistakes people make.
What's up? This is Stick
and Satchel from Steel Panther, and you are listening to
Around the House with Eric G.
Yeah.
We love Eric G, and you should too.
Today, I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Hey, make sure you hit us up on Facebook, Round the House with Eric G. That's all the social media stuff. And then head over to aroundthehouseonline.com for the website.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be talking today about top 10 DIY plumbing mistakes people make. Now, here's number 7.
Don't make this mistake. This isn't a mistake. Just the way that you've worded this, that's not a mistake. You are almost deliberately doing this and being an idiot.
Here's the thing. Letting a small leak get out of control. How does this happen?
If you notice a small leak, get it under control.
I know, but here's what happens, though. Think of that outdoor faucet, right?
Okay, yeah.
You turn
drip,
it on.
Drip.
It's leaking. It's spraying out all over the place. Yeah. And you're putting all that water next to the foundation. It's adding more down into the crawl space or basement, right?
Yeah.
You're going to run the sprinkler in the yard in the summertime.
Everything we tell you not to do.
Yep. Or how about that dripping faucet? Or the one that's maybe just dripping into the kitchen sink out of the garbage disposal a little bit, and you wipe it up.
I don't care if it's a little bit.
I know.
It keeps happening.
You got to fix it, but that's the problem. You know, or even the shower water that keeps getting outside of the shower on the floor that maybe needs the door repaired or doesn't get wiped up right away.
I think you're trying to poke at me because I've got a spare, stream of water from my shower head that just makes water go out on outside the shower.
Never been to your house, man.
I know.
How would I be picking on you if I don't know?
Because I tell you things, and I've told you all about this.
Yeah, okay, that's true. But still, that's the thing. It's those things that just get you. Because all of a sudden, that little bit of water damage turns into a lot of water damage. So make sure that water that's dripping into the cabinet or on the floor, the vinyl floor or tile or whatever, make sure you get that taken care of because that little water issue will become a big one. It's like when dishwashers fail. When that pump starts to go or the bearing goes, they leak right down underneath the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did my dishwasher, when I changed my dishwasher out this last time, what did I do? I put a waterproof membrane piece of roofing down underneath there.
Absolutely.
And then I put it up the cabinets and up the back wall so that way, and I sloped it just a little bit so it'll kick it out towards the front.
Because you'll see it.
Well, I have hardwoods in there. So I put that roofing down in there. So if I do get a leak down the road, it's going to make a pool of water out in front. Because I've had so many times, I'm doing a kitchen remodel. Oh, yeah, we'll be fine. Pull it out, and that thing's been just dripping, and it's been just drilling a moldy hole underneath there, but it's not enough to get it underneath. You only usually see that when it starts warping out the floor.
Exactly. Only when it affects outside of that area where the dishwasher is. If it's just dripping straight down, you'll never see that hole.
Oh, yeah. It gets to be a big problem. So that's one of those ones that really gets you. Now, that's just be careful with that one. Now, here's one of my big ones.
You hate this one.
Don't ever use the chemical drain cleaners.
The Drano's and the stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, throw that brand there, whatever that is.
Any of those.
Here's why. This is how this always plays out, and I always feel bad for the plumbers. So the sink drain gets slow. Maybe it's because it's got beards like you and I.
Yep.
Gets slow, gets even worse. Now people go, well, I can either take the trap apart, get my hands dirty, cleaning out all the muck out of there, or I can go buy some liquid cleaner and pour some stuff down there and fix it. Problem is that stuff loves to chew metal.
It's a chemical
pipe. It's just brutal. It's meant to eat up grease, fat, and hair. It's what it is.
And eat up a lot of other things, too.
A lot of things along the way. So what happens is you pour that down there.
It just sits there.
It just sits there, and maybe it does work, but maybe it shoves that plug farther down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Now it gets to be a point where the plumber's got to go down there. You're paying the plumber. They show up. They're putting their plumbing tools down there. Now they got that nastiness all over their,
equipment.
Of the equipment, and it could be caustic, it could be acid, depending on what brand of stuff you're using. But nonetheless, it's down there, and you got a mess. And now that plumber's got to deal with, or you, if you go rent the tools and do it as a DIY, now you've got that stuff all over your tools, your hands, or wherever else. And so it's really bad for your plumbing. I don't recommend any of those different,
chemical drain cleaners.
Yeah, they're just tough on everything. And then, if you're on a septic system and you're using them, you're just chewing up your drain field and everything else out there, because that septic system, as we talked about a few weeks ago, that drain field has enzymes that eat up all the waste. You want those enzymes to be dialed in and working. Every time you put something out like that, it's just
you're altering it.
You're going to kill them, so you don't want to kill the enzymes out there. But really, just I have banned those from my house.
That was one of the first things that, because as you said, we're fairly hairy guys and we have been for years. I came to you before I even worked on the show and I'm like, hey man, my shower drain is just causing me problems. I'm thinking about going and buying some drain cleaner, and you're like, no,
go get a
cheap plastic snake that you can run down there.
Yep. And clean it out and it'll take care of it.
It helps.
And that's the thing, and people do that with garbage disposals and all this other stuff. And it's just like, man, just don't do it. And, if you can't snake it out, call the professional in there. But
now, there are garbage disposal cleaners that we've talked about that you like, but they're typically non-chemical.
Yeah, they've got cleaners. They're cleaners. They're not something that's going to go in and eat something up,
It's not going to destroy the thing you're trying to clean.
Or you get a garbage disposal like mine, which is made by Mountain Products. It doesn't smell. It doesn't.
Did you humble brag?
I'm going to.
Yeah, I know. It's your show. You get to.
I get to. It's a cool product, so you don't get that stinky smell out of it because it's got that right rating where they've built the materials in there, so it's not going to stick on the inside. It's kind of like its own self-cleaning garbage disposal because, I don't know, I don't like those nasty smells coming out.
It's
just, and I still throw it, even though it doesn't do it, I still have a habit every time we're making cocktails or anything else, I'm throwing the oranges and the apples and the lime peels down in there just because it's makes it smell good.
Well, yeah, citrus.
It works. All right, we come back. We'll tackle more of our top 10 plumbing mistakes that homeowners make just as soon as we're on the house.
Hey, this is Ron Keel, the metal cowboy from Keel, the Ron Keel Band and Steeler. We are rocking Around the House with Eric G. Raise your
fist! Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every weekend. Thanks for joining us today. Well, Dan and I are sitting here talking about the top 10 DIY plumbing mistakes that people make. And to kind of back down the list here, number 10 was using a shark bite fitting for anything other than a temporary repair. That's a controversial one always.
I was going to say, that doesn't necessarily belong at number 10, but we don't put these in order of importance. These are just kind of a way to get us through the show.
Exactly. So number 9, trying to save a cheap toilet by repairing it.
Dumb.
Time and time again versus buying a new one that's so much more efficient. Number 8, using PVC inside your house for pressurized water, hot water, or drinking water. Bad idea. Number 7, letting that small leak get out of control.
If you know you have a small leak, take care of it.
Take care of it. Right, Dan?
Yeah.
And then, of course, using chemical drain cleaners, which is one of those things that...
That's a pet peeve of yours.
Pet peeve of mine. It's just, it's hard on your plumbing. And either fix it or hire somebody that can.
Yeah, you're gonna tick off that the next plumber that you call if you end up bringing them out and they see that you have all that stuff.
They never like you having to deal with that stuff. So here's another one that's important. And this is going to be a really big problem. Mixing galvanized steel pipe and copper on a project.
If you're going to put some galvanized in, shouldn't you just replace it all?
Well, here's the problem with galvanized pipe. You know, that was a really 1940s, 50s
true
kind of thing.
Okay, yeah, yep.
Problem is that when galvanized pipe fails, it gets smaller and smaller on the inside because it rusts and the walls get thicker as it corrodes.
Yep, and you lose interior space.
Yeah, so you lose interior space, which means you lose pressure and volume. And you'll still have pressure, but the volume goes to nothing. The problem is you have galvanic action where you're going to... The copper and the galvanized are going to eat each other alive. So those two dissimilar metals...
They don't play well.
Oh, they will eat each other alive. So when you take that copper fitting, I'm not talking brass, but that copper fitting, and thread it into a piece of galvanized, this happens a lot in water heaters, because they'll use a galvanized nipple coming out of the water heater and put the copper line on it.
Yeah.
That is going to be an ugly green multicolored mess in no time. And that's where leaks occur.
And that's rust, right?
Well, it is, but it's like rust, but they're eating each other up. Okay. So it's almost, they're basically the two metals are attacking each other. And they're just dissimilar
just
metals.
Just on contact.
Just a chemical reaction as soon as they start
what
to touch.
Yep. The water or anything inside.
Over a couple of years, you probably will have a leak. And so that's where you be careful with. So how do you do this? If you're doing copper in the house, you've got copper fittings, don't use those galvanized metal nipples. Go get a brass one. Brass one works well with copper. So make sure that you use the right fittings for the right pieces because that's where you're going to get burned. If you bury it in a wall, oh.
How many times have you gone into a wall and seen that?
Lots.
Too many.
Yeah. Like, for instance, somebody will have replaced a shower valve, and they just got the steel threaded nipples to go into it, and they put the copper on afterwards. It's a leaky, moldy mess at that point. So just make sure you're using the right products, you know. If you're adding copper, you know, we're seeing a little less of this now because of the PEX.
I was going to say, copper seems to be going away as well.
Yeah, you're seeing more and more people use PEX because you can bend it, you can install it quicker, it's much more forgiving as far as freezing goes.
There you go, yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of cool things with that where, you know, the fittings sometimes aren't, but at least the pipe is. So that's where you're good there. Now, you know, we were talking about that one, but here's one that I've done, and I think a lot of people have done. This is a common plumbing mistake. Drilling through a water pipe.
So you say you've done this. I'm not a DIYer. I've never done this before. I imagine this is just kind of a lack of preparation and knowing where your pipes are.
Yeah, just moved into a house. Was hanging the TV up.
Ooh, yeah, yep.
Used the stud finder. Went, wow, I got a couple studs right here. didn't realize that this house that I moved into that had CPVC pipe, it was a 3/4 inch pipe that ran up that read about inch and a half on the stud finder.
Right, so along
it looked like a stud,
yep.
Right next to the stud. Like, wow, I got double studs right here. Sweet. Why wouldn't I not want to grab these for the TV mount? Yeah.
One of them was a stud.
Oh, yeah. And that was right next to my office.
Oh, is this
the other house?
Oh, okay.
The other house.
Yep.
Luckily, we had the windows open because I sat there when I hit that and I heard the poof. As the water was coming out, I pulled my drill out of the way, stood out of the way.
Knew the release of pressure.
Knew the water was coming, and it went across the room, and I opened the window up and hit the window for just a second. I opened the window the rest of the way, and it blew the screen out onto the deck.
First of all, that's crazy with the amount of pressure. But second, I mean, that's kind of nice, at least, that you were able to get it
half
straight outside.
Half the water was out there before I could go out in the garage and turn the water off. And that's the problem. And so it's really easy to do. So, and I've seen cabinet installers do it in medical buildings where they had to call the city to come turn the water off to the building because nobody could find it. I've seen people not know how to turn their water off. So here's the thing. Before you go drilling and mounting anything through the walls, take a moment and go, if I hit a pipe, where do I turn the water off at? And do I have access to it right now?
Same kind of goes for, you know, gas lines too.
Gas lines are dangerous. Now, gas lines, at least in many cases, not so much now because now there's flex pipes and there's other things for it. There's plastic. But a lot of it's iron, so you got
to
really
drill through it.
But there are some corrugated flex stuff that you can get now that you're going to hit it. It might feel a little different, so pay attention to what you're drilling into. But holy smokes. Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. Be careful with that. Now, that also happens outside. You could bust up your water line really easy outside.
I've seen it happen. When I was much younger, my stepdad at the time, we used to move mobile mm-hmm. trailers, but we were bringing an 8x12 in and setting it down on someone's property, but their sub pump failed. So wow. It was a big, gross field that we were trying to put a trailer down into, but it cost so much. It was so gross,
yep.
And it was such a project, and people, they were not happy. It wasn't us, but it was right after that happened that we were there, and they were pissed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then here's the thing. You know, when it comes down to that kind of stuff outside, you can have water lines that break really easy. You can dig them up. I mean, I've had problems even with the call before you dig people.
Oh, wow. Doing your due diligence.
Doing my due diligence. Even my house here. I had, when I first moved in, I wanted to see where the lines were. So I had them come out, and they marked everything out. I went, okay, it's going down this side of the driveway. It's going over here. Great. Now I know where everything is around here. So I'm going to do some landscaping and stuff, and you just know where they're at. Well, when my neighbor sold their house this last year, another call before you dig guy comes out, locate service comes out, and he wanted to make sure where he was putting the sign up there that my gas line wasn't anywhere near it. Cool. Awesome.
Yep.
But for the real estate sign. I'm like, well, gas line I think goes here is where the last guy marked it out. See right here? And he goes, nope.
That's incorrect.
It actually goes through here. And I'm like, what? Yeah, it goes through here. I'm like, are you kidding me? He goes, no, it goes right here. And this is about where I lose it. I'm like, I was just digging through there with that excavator this last, yeah, out front. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Yep.
They had mismarked the gas line. I didn't hit it, but I think they tunneled it in when they did it. Not sure how deep it is, but luckily when I moved that big berm of dirt out there, it wasn't going through the middle of that. But, oh, man. That could have been a big problem.
I always like to say, too, if you have underground electric wires as well. I mean, just to kind of lump this all in together, just always call before you dig. Even when you do your due diligence, it can still go haywire.
But at least you've had them come out and mark it.
Yeah, you've had people there, and if something
does
go wrong, you can
shifted your
that.
Liability.
Yes.
Because if you hit that fiber optic line or the gas line, you could be paying for that. Nobody wants that.
And you are not going to be the popular person in your neighborhood.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. All right. When we come back here in a minute, actually, no. Let's do this. We got time. We got time. Let's do in this one here. Let's do this one. This is one of my favorites. Doing repairs and not insulating pipes in a wall.
Here's the thing. While you're in there, you might as well do it.
And people in Texas learned a lot about this last year. You know, if you're in an area that is cold, like we do, you got enough house insulation that we don't really have as many
pipes. Usually stay decently warm.
Now, if we in the Portland metro area, once we get about low, probably the low 20s for an extended period of time, that's when we start having frozen pipes here.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is if you look in the southern states, Texas, even Oklahoma, all across the south, most of these aren't insulated well.
They don't necessarily, I don't want to say they don't need to be, but it's typically a warmer climate where you're not trying to keep the heat in.
Yeah. Not an issue. So what happens is that pipe ends up going through there, and it's maybe going through the ceiling. And as it's going through the ceiling, not enough insulation. Get in the 20s, bus, and you got water coming through the lights. It's a horrible mess. More of this just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G, your home improvement source every weekend and during the week by as well. We've got this show going all week long. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
You know, I want to make sure that you check out the podcast. If you're listening on the radio right now, this show airs, of course, 2 hours every single Saturday, but we also have the midweek special, and we've got it right there with the Pro Insider podcast.
Absolutely. Got a couple different episodes that we do middle of the week-ish to kind of give some more content out there, bring some more people in.
So make sure you hit that. If you're listening on the radio, if you're a podcast listener, thanks for joining us again and checking out all our content that goes through every single week.
Absolutely. And we want your home improvement questions, so go ahead, give us a call here in the studio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our number is 971-233-8992. Leave us a message. Eric will call you back, and we'll get that question answered.
You got it. Well, we've been talking right now about the top 10 DIY plumbing mistakes that people make around their house. Now, we were just talking about, you know, making sure that you're insulating pipes. This is one of those things, and I'll just kind of put a nice little bow around this, but when you're, like when I, for instance, when I've been doing some stuff around, I did some drywall work, and you expose pipes, and I'm like, you know, this is a great time to insulate stuff, even when it's inside the house. If you've got a hot water line going, you want to make sure that you have that insulated, because that's going to save you on energy, and really what it does is the more you can insulate those pipes within the house, the longer when you turn on that hot water, the less you have to worry about, you know, that hot water going away. So it can save you a significant amount of water as you're not waiting at maybe the kitchen sink to get that hot water. So there are some savings with that as well. Not even counting stopping freezing of pipes in the wintertime if you get a cold spell for that. So just one little thing to step into to make sure that you're doing as a while you're at it project. Now, here's the thing I want to jump into. This is a good one. Number two, buying cheap fixtures online.
Don't go for the knockoff brands.
Well, not even that. You will see people jump on Amazon and buy off-branded plumbing parts. And I'll be honest, they're not going to last. And where it gets even more foolish is when you buy these off-brand plumbing parts and install them in areas that are pretty permanent installations. Like I see, if you're going to buy a cheap faucet for your laundry room, okay, it could fall apart, could be a problem, but it's a half hour fix if you want to throw it away down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Where I see the big problems are when they buy one for their bathroom shower. Now you're tearing a wall apart. it's buried in the wall, or you have to tear the shower out to put it back in. No.
You don't want to do that.
No. When in doubt, here's the thing. To me, when you're looking at plumbing fixtures, the best place you can buy them is from your local plumbing wholesaler. Period. Or retailer. But yeah, one of your local plumbing stores around. I'm not as big a fan as some of the home center ones because there are brands that make cheaper models of the same model number that they put into the big box stores. So if you take apart their one from the plumbing wholesaler,
where it looks the same on the outside,
looks exactly the same, same model name, same everything. You pull it apart. Plumbing wholesaler's made out of really nice brass. Everything else, plastic on the other store. So make sure that you know what you're getting with that. Now, there are online retailers like Build.com and people like that that are owned by Ferguson, which is one of the largest plumbing wholesalers out there. But you still got to be careful with those knockoff parts. And now our friends over at Chown Hardware, they get phone calls daily. Daily. What happens? People order online that name brand part, right? They put it in. They go, oh, I need the extension for the faucet because I have thicker tile. They order the part. And they go down to the local plumbing store, pick it up. It doesn't fit. It's because you have a knockoff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the tire not fitting on. Oh, well, I don't know what's going on. It just doesn't work. So you got to be really careful with that kind of stuff. And literally, I could walk into a home center, buy a Kohler faucet off the shelf with no knowledge of Kohler. I could ship that over to China and have pallets of that stuff knocked off and show up on my doorstep in about 8 weeks.
For a lot cheaper than the normal
Yep. cuts. And now you're selling them online on eBay, anywhere else out there, and they're knockoffs. It's like people selling purses.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of fake ones
out
there.
Not a real Louis Vuitton.
It is not. So anyway, that's one of the ones that you just need to be really careful with because that's how you get burned. Now, before we go to number one, I want to recap our list here real quick. So number 10, using a shark bite fitting and other than a temporary repair. Don't bury that in the wall, ever. Number 9, trying to save a cheap toilet by repairing it versus just putting in a new one. I know a repair kit's $20, but if you've got one of those old ones that don't work well, like the 1990s 1.6 gallon ones, get a new toilet. It's going to save you money in the long run. Number 8, using PVC, the white PVC pipe, inside your house for pressurized water systems, whether it's hot water, regular water, drinking water, any of that kind of stuff. Not a good idea. Number 7, letting that small leak get out of control. Number 6, using those chemical drain cleaners. I despise them. Number 5, mixing galvanized pipe and copper. Having those two touch, they don't play well together. That's not a good party. Number 4, one of my experiences, drilling through that water pipe. Number 3, doing repairs and not insulating pipes while you're at it. And then number 2, buying those cheap fixtures online. And number 1, the number one issue that I see out there, this is kind of still my number one, not following the installation instructions. And I know, guys, we have a bad name on that one, but this is one of those ones. Read the directions, understand the directions, go watch the YouTube video for the manufacturer, understand it, and you're good to go. And that's going to give you the right way to get the job done.
Less headaches.
Less headaches, and you followed the manufacturer's instructions. So many times, they put it right there, but we get in a hurry because we want to get it done, and we think we know what we're doing, that we end up messing it up anyway. Well, that's all the time we got for this week. Can't believe we blasted through this show again.
Absolutely. Got through 2 top 10 lists.
I know, and it's a 2 top 10 list weekend. I love it. Well, I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
And you've been listening to Around the House.
Around the House with Eric G. is produced by Designed by Eric G. in association with Salem Media and distributed nationally by the Sun Broadcast Group. All rights reserved. Copyright Designed by Eric G. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast of all of our shows at AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with caulk, and cut with an axe.
Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Hey, it's Eric G. from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand-molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.